Brian, I'm a little bit sad over the news yesterday out of Sears. I mean, I grew up with Sears, and most of us did, especially at Christmas time with the Christmas wish book. What's your take on the whole announcement yesterday that they just can't go on?
You know, I've been practicing this interview for 2 years. That's how long I thought this news was going to come. I've been saying that Sears is like a giant GPS unit that keeps saying, recalculating. You know, they couldn't find a merchandising mix that would resonate with their customers. They're neither off-price nor high-quality or high-touch shopping. So I wasn't surprised, but it is the end of a 65-year-old dynasty.
Sears was at the forefront for a while. Like, they were the first ones to offer credit to customers. They had the whole catalog thing set up, but they just didn't move forward with the times. How can that happen?
Well, you can't have a catalog without having internet and online shopping the way that people like Amazon have capitalized on it. You know, Sears just sort of sat back and waited for people to come to them, and it just didn't happen. You know, I also want to be very respectful here, Mel and Chris. You know, there's the business side, but, you know, the other side is the human side, where about 12,000 employees, you know, will be displaced. So if you just let that sink in for a second, you know, some may find employment with other retailers like Lowe's or Home Depot or the Bay or Nordstrom's, but many will struggle. They've been under a lot of stress these past several months.
You said you've been planning for this for a couple of years, but does the timing strike you as a bit odd, Brian? You know, with Christmas right around the corner?
Well, first of all, I mean, to that point, Chris, I don't think that there was going to be a white knight, because if there was a white knight, and there's still talk, there's still a rabbit that somebody could pull a rabbit out of the hat here, but, you know, you need to be geared up for Christmas, where about 50% of retail sales happen. And now, you know, when they go to the courts on Friday, they'll start liquidating October the 19th. And so they're saying that their liquidation will take 10 to 14 weeks. 10 weeks takes us to Christmas, and of course, 14 to the end of January.
But even if they make a lot of money in between now and then, that's not going to do anything. That's not going to change the end point.
Certainly not. I mean, there's a number of creditors and suppliers, and of course, you know, we still have to deal with the 18,000 retirees. So, you know, to that point, don't expect they're going to be deep discounting at the beginning. I mean, I think they'll start with nominal discounts, and then they'll increase the discounts before Christmas, and then they'll take what they can after Christmas and just accelerate to the end.
Now, getting back to the employees, and I have friends who work at Sears at New Sudbury Center, and I struggled over whether to shop there after this whole thing started, the pension thing, the, you know, the bad vibes from there. And I quickly realized that if I don't continue shopping at Sears, my friends are going to be in worse shape if everybody stops shopping there. But what do you anticipate for the future of employment? You touched on it a little bit, but stores like Toys R Us are in dire straits as well. It's just, where are these retail workers going to find employment?
Yeah, and I think that's a big question. And I've been sort of advocating that the government needs to step in and do some retraining and get these people some help immediately. Because, you know, a lot of stress, Chris alluded to Christmas, where traditionally there's a lot of stress where people are trying to spend money, and if the money is not there, you know, what happens? But, you know, I think some of the retailers that are doing well will clearly look for some of the key talent at Sears and offer them jobs.
Is Sears a business that owns the buildings they're in, or are they like a leasing sort of thing?
Yeah, so it's the latter. It's leasing. And you know, clearly just last week, RioCan announced that they would be putting up 100 properties for sale and only retain properties in Toronto, Ottawa, Montreal, Calgary, and Vancouver. So they've been streamlining their business. You know, one of the questions asked, you know, why are you putting these properties up for sale? And they basically said, in other outlying communities, and Sudbury is one of them, Timmins, North Bay, there's just no growth. And when there's no growth, they need to divest themselves of these malls.
Well, there's going to be a huge hole at New Sudbury Center.
Yeah, and you know, what do you do with that property? I mean, the size of that 30,000 square feet, you know, how do you redeploy that space? I mean, you're not going to have one retailer come in and buy all of that, and so do you start chunking it up? Or what they've done, and I don't think they'll do this in Sudbury, but what they've done in Southern Ontario is actually demolish some of these malls and turn some of the space into those you know, big lockers that people can use for all of their belongings.
At my mom's mall in London, the Sears closed a couple of years ago, and just recently HomeSense and Marshalls opened up in part of that space, not the whole space because it was huge, but they have managed to get a retailer in there. I'm just hoping the same for New Sudbury Center because it affects everybody in the whole mall.
It clearly does. I mean, it's been an anchor for many, many years. But as you see, anchors are now becoming dollar stores. I mean, we have dollar stores popping up all over the place. But once again, to your point about, you know, the London, sure, so Marshalls and Winners or HomeSense or whatever move in there, but they can't take all of the space. And thankfully, they're smart enough not to take all of the space because one of the biggest challenges in retail is that the footprint is too big. You know, you need to be able to have merchandise that resonates with your target market, and you don't need those big spaces to do that.
Now, Brian, we chatted a little bit about this yesterday, and one of the things that I brought up, kind of joking, but really, remember when we collected all those Sears points?
Yeah, well, you can flush those. I mean, how are you going to redeem them if there's no Sears? We had a little chat over dinner last night, and we said, you know, if everybody pooled their Sears points and perhaps looked at a not-for-profit that could use a freezer or a refrigerator, maybe that might be a good idea.
Oh, that is a good idea.
If you had a Sears credit card, is that owned by someone else, or is that...
It is. It is. And that's one of the things is... you know, they sell that. They don't want to. They want to get back to core business. I mean, they wanted to get back to core business. You know, they've had four chairmen in the last 4 or 5 years.
Revolving door,
and each one has their own vision. And you know, none of the visions resonated.
All right, Brian. Any final comments on the demise of a 65-year-old shopping dynasty?
Well, you know, I just want to talk about HBC for a second, Hudson Bay, where the CEO spoke Monday in Denmark, in Copenhagen. And one of the things he said is that, you know, the better approach is to improve your stores, build up your e-commerce, and make sure both are fully integrated. You know, if once you start closing stores, it becomes a race to the bottom because vendors that normally rely on a certain volume of sales, they can't rely on that anymore. So, you know... Chain after chain that's going to go bankrupt is really going to hurt until they can find the right supply and demand balance.